Stop right there, criminal scum! Nobody breaks the law on my watch! I'm confiscating your stolen goods. Now pay your fine!
Welcome to One Flew Over the Side Quest, your place of philosophical gaming top fives and a little feud between some Irish lass and a British legend. With me, the host, Ryan, and Spyro Swoon, Total Loon, the funny honey, Mox herself, wants to be an elf, raw, uncut, the big bad ginger nut. And of course, we're again joined by Lou. Take it away, Ern. It's Hawkey of Rivia, Commander Shepard's favourite companion, the Hustler of Helgen. It's Lou. I really annoyed myself there because usually I say it's Lou at the end and I said it's Lou at the start.
Yeah, you just
which kind
up.
Of bookmarked it, but shame. Oh well, there we are. So this is One Flew Over the Side Quest. We're going to be doing a gaming top five today, which is our top five steeds/vehicles. So it's a pretty open field for us to go through, but we'll start with what you're up to, which is a little... What have we been playing? What have we been up to? So, Kaylee, you go first, then we'll go with Lou, then we'll go with me, then we'll crack on with our game in top five.
Okay. I have one thing to say, and that is Animal Crossing. And I think progressively over the weeks, I've been like, oh, I've been kind of getting back into Animal Crossing. Then the week after, I was like, oh, I'm a bit more into Animal Crossing. And then this week, I'm completely obsessed with Animal Crossing. I think that's how I spend my days, is playing Animal Crossing. And it's just so therapeutic. It's just so, well, I say therapeutic, and then Ryan says that I stress over it a lot because he just hears lots of angry noises. But that's mainly when you, like, put a patch of, like, path down that you didn't want it to go, or you, like, pick a petal by mistake and it wasn't meant to happen. And then you're like, well, my pockets are full of petals now, and that's not what I wanted. But, yes, I've been, like, completely obsessed because what I intend to do is I'm on Instagram, and... the algorithm knows now, it's caught me where it's like showing me all these pretty little fairy tale looking islands. And I'm like, oh, I want that. I want this on my island. So then I'm like saving them all down for like inspiration. And then I'm like, oh, I'll just redo my island. And that's all I've been doing all week.
Yeah.
Literally like personal life, gaming life, just Animal Crossing. I even took it to Ryan's mom's house because she's playing Animal Crossing. And then we had... a little Animal Crossing date, and Ryan was just left in the corner by himself.
That's a plot. But it's nice to see you really enjoying it again and really getting involved and like just seeing you built your little, what was it the other day that you showed me? Like a little.
Oh, I did like a little Japanese garden
type thing. It. Yeah, that was really, really cute to see that like your hard work had paid off into something.
Yes.
Which looked really, really nice. You know?
Yeah.
And it's cool because you just like want to shapeshift the whole island and completely change the entire thing, which is like super time consuming, but it's not like it's a. Really stressful game, although like yeah, like you say, you might pick up something out again and be a bit like, oh fuck, but like you're not.
Oh yeah, generally it's not
yeah,
stressful.
It's just really, really chill. Obviously, I will just piggyback off and say I randomly started Animal Crossing the other day.
You felt left out
and gave it a go. It was alright.
Yeah.
So far, I'm in a tent. It feels more like a survival game than it does anything else because I'm just like in a tent, barely getting by on twigs.
Bear Grylls.
Yeah, just. Living off twigs and oranges, that's all I'm doing. Like, it's pretty mental.
Yeah, and he's looking at my island, and I'm like, oh, got my 5-star island. And I was like, oh, I'm making all these cute Japanese gardens, sort of like cottagecore forest. And then Ryan's like, Ryan like turns to me, he's like, how much did the twigs sell for?
Yeah, so just trying to make a buck. But like, I just really enjoyed the same kind of like, chill, simple mechanics that just make it kind of moorish. And I'm already just thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, I want to get on and quickly shake all my trees or whatever. And it's like, oh, they got me in there.
Fruit.
You know, this used to be my big thing. It was like, oh, look at all you Animal Crossing people shaking your trees. Now I'm shaking trees, mate. You know, they got me.
Yeah, but you got stung by a wasp yesterday.
Yeah, I did get stung by a wasp because I shook a tree too much, but it was good. You know, it was worth it. It was worth the pains. I got myself a little wasp nest, sell that beauty, you know. Get some more bells, pay everything off. But like, yeah, I just like it. I just think it's really, really good. But to be fair, it didn't surprise me because I played Animal Crossing on the Nintendo DS. So like, I went around and made friends, people, I really, really liked it. So like, it doesn't surprise me that I like it as much as I do. But yeah,
I think Well, no, it's mainly the only thing I've been playing, but it's just it's also nice for like social stuff. Like as I said, we went to your mom's and then your mom saw me playing it. She's like, "Oh, I'll come visit your island," and I was showing her around my island, and she was showing me around her island. And then today, Sarah messaged me, and she's like, "Oh, is your gate open?" And I was like, "Oh, I'll open it for you." And I've been saying that there was this DIY recipe I didn't have, and she went and got it for me. Aww. And she came over to my island and they, like, dropped it off, and she's like, "There you go." And I was like, "Oh, this Aww. Is so cute." And like when it, like, you know, it originally happened, or when it originally came out, it was during lockdown.
Yeah.
So it was like super good for like socializing online, and I still feel it kind of does that.
Yeah, it's really, really cool that you guys came like to each other's island instead of just hanging out and stuff. It's really, really nice, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really cute. Nice, like, for me personally, just to see you and then hanging out with my mum on the map and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like really cute and that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's good.
Yeah, but that's literally all I've been playing since the last podcast.
Good stuff, though.
There's a lot of Animal Crossing.
A lot of Animal Crossing.
Lou?
Me, well, that's the thing. I've been playing many games.
He's the man of many games.
Yeah, I dabble in a lot. I it's always mood based for me. Yeah. So I've been playing, like, you know, still a bit of Minecraft like before. Bit of Total War Warhammer 3 that just came out. Yeah. I've been playing that. It's really good. Really been enjoying that in the campaign.
Strategy,
and strategy based or turn based, like build your armies up, conquer towns and stuff. Like,
cool.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying that. A little tiny bit of Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Elden Ring, I just...
We're all super curious about this one.
Yeah, I got it, and then obviously I've been working a lot lately, so I've not had much time to play it, because I only got it the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I really enjoy it so far. Like, the map's, like, beautiful. Like, I like the map that it's set in. Like, the story behind why you're there and what you're doing. I just haven't really played it much to be able to give much more of an input on it. What else have I been playing?
Are you pissed off at it yet?
No. Yeah, there was just this one boss, and I just kept dying to it. I kept trying to do it, kept dying to it. I've watched a couple of videos now, and it's like, you just need to buff yourself up a bit before you do anything, because it's just too hard.
Yeah, it's cool, though, that it's got those kind of scales and stuff. And like, are you finding it hard to get around, like, where to go, what to do? Or are you enjoying that kind of...
Not really, because, like, the premise of, like... To know what direction you're going is you're going to these, like, holy spots. It's like you go to one holy spot and then you look on the map and it'll give you a line of, like, sort of roughly where the next one is in direction, and you just follow that line and it'll, like, eventually take you around the whole map, I'm guessing.
Have you seen anything that's random and cool yet or not?
Yeah. Oh, I was walking around and then just randomly a giant, like, jumped off a bridge and came down and started attacking me.
Oh, jeez.
Ran away from that. straight away.
Great choice.
I went across a bridge, because this is in the opposite direction. I went across a bridge and there was these two giants with, like, massive nails going through their chest with chains connected to a massive carriage that was, like, dragging like a loot box, and you've got to kill those two giants to be able to get into the loot box, and there's, like, a big army behind it.
Yeah,
did that like a boss.
Did you?
Nice.
Defeated that carriage with boss, and it's pretty much as far as I've gotten in Elden Ring now.
Yeah, but you are enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I forgot to say that I played, was it Demon's Souls? I completely forgot that I tried that.
Yeah, you tried that on our friend's PS5.
Yeah, Ryan's friend came over with his PS5, and I was like, "Hey, I'm not sure about Elden Ring, because I think it'll be too difficult," and he had Demon's Souls, and I was like, "Give us a go."
Mm-hmm.
I think I was alright.
Very early in the game, though, we're talking about.
Down my gameplay here, but I think I was alright.
Yeah, you were right with what was there. It's just obviously as the game progresses, it gets, like, crushingly hard as it goes. Cause...
Yeah, but I think what I enjoyed about it was learning the strategies of it.
Yeah.
Like, there were certain, like, obviously, yes, it was very early on in the game. And I was just learning, I was like, oh, this enemy's going to do this, so I'm going to have to side by, and I'm going to have to do this, that, and the other. And I was like, I think I might enjoy that.
Yeah.
Because I've played, like, I was never one to shy away from hard games when I was younger. And it's only recently that I've played games on easy mode, and that's mainly to get through them quicker. It's not even to, because I, like, it bothers me about the difficulty, so I just don't think that would be an issue for me. I'm not saying I wouldn't rage and maybe throw a controller, but I think I could do it. I have faith in myself.
Yeah,
Ryan, however,
I think you'll do well. I just think that there'll just be certain elements of it that will be stressful.
Mm.
And especially just because you're going off the back of playing games on easy. Like, even the fact that, like, you know, there were times in The Witcher where you were like, it was so hard. Like, Blood and Wine was so hard it done your head in. And I'm like, this game is like, that was Witcher on easy. This game is made for people who play Witcher on hard and find it easy.
Everyone who's listening now, I'm going to prove Ryan wrong.
Okay. We'll see anyway.
He doesn't have faith in me right now, and I'm going to prove him wrong.
Yeah, I think you really enjoy it, that's the thing. And that's the thing that bothers me about Elden Ring, is I think I'd really like it, and I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to give it my best shot. And maybe it's the, I don't know, the thing that welcomes me into being a full-time Souls player, who knows? But I just can't see myself being a sucker for punishment like the people are who play it. But, mm-hmm. We'll see. And at the end of the day, it's the same thing, isn't it? It's like, you either get your quick fixes, like, or you get something that makes you feel good, these little hits, these little markers on someone's head, and you go straight to them, you know where to go. Or you get these things like Demon's Souls, where you spend an hour and a half just getting absolutely just getting your ass whooped, and you feel fantastic when you beat it. Mm. You know, because I remember how great it felt when I took out that super hard enemy in Spyro. You know, when I took him out.
Spyro.
Like, you know, what's it called? That grunge or whatever, the one that's like really hard. It's like universally known for being really hard.
Oh, Gulp.
Gulp, yeah. It's like really hard, really hard enemy.
Yeah.
In Spyro. I felt great when I'd done it. So it's like, it's one of those where it's like, it's the risk-reward, isn't it, of playing them. But it's interesting. It's an interesting philosophical conversation to have, like, you know, are hard games good or are hard games bad, or should you be able to play them at scales, or, you know, because that's what the developers are like. They're like, you know, you really should, like, have to play it on where we tell you to play it, as opposed to why isn't there an easy mode, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to take in story or whatever else. But they're like, no, you have to work for it. Like, this game tells you that...
It's the premise of the game, is that it's not easy to get to where the story wants you to be.
And it'd just be exciting to see what we all think of it, you know? And I think that at the end of the day, the game will definitely, definitely do your head in there. Like, and that's because it has to. It's his job, almost, to do it. And I think that's what I'm saying, is that I just don't know whether the risk-reward for you will be the same. But I think it'll be interesting to see.
Growing up, I used to do... There was bosses I was stuck in that I'd do 100 times, but I never give up. That's why I think that I'll be fine doing it.
And again, when you do actually beat those, you get that, like, real release of, like, you know, that's what our friend...
I've finally done it.
Yeah, literally is, like, a true...
Now I can move on to the next boss that I'm going to be stuck on for another 5 minutes.
Enjoying the scenery in between. But yes, Lou, what else are we playing, mate?
I think that's roughly it. Yeah, a bit of Minecraft, bit of Total War, a bit of, like...
Just dabbling in
a little bit.
And it'll be interesting to see, obviously, we've got the Monthly Mayhem podcast next, and it'll be interesting to see where you're at with it then, whether you play a bit more.
Probably still wouldn't have played it.
In between, yeah.
So, I would have quit by now.
Yeah,
by now.
Me and Kaylee, we started it because Lou's let us borrow it.
Because he's given up.
Because he threw it out the window and we found it inside his house.
Yeah.
Along with his controller, snapped the nav.
But yeah, so I have finished Assassin's Creed. I started another game, called Artful Escape, which is like a really zany sidewalking platformer thing that's just like out there crazy. It's like very David Bowie. It's just like really crazy, off the wall, space, moon, band. Like, it's just nothing makes sense. Bit Rick and Morty. But yeah, I'm really enjoying the start of that. Assassin's Creed Odyssey was one of the best games I've ever played. Without a doubt. Characters, gameplay, scenery, everything. Just like one of the best games I've ever played, and I think that it's one of those games that's really timeless as well. So, like, it doesn't matter where you're at, I think this game will stand the test of time and always be very good. Like, if you're ever listening to this, if you're listening to this podcast and you ever get to the point where you see it on a PS Store, or you see it on Steam, or you see it on somewhere for like a fiver or 15 quid or tenner, like, you're getting away with a complete steal. Like, if you're in between games, or you're, you know, you can't afford the latest big RPG or whatever, like, you want some time to kill, like, this is 100 hours of your life that you won't regret either, as far as I'm concerned. And of course, like, it probably won't appeal to people like who would play the likes of Elden Ring or something like that, because they'd be more inclined to want something that's harder. But this game, you can really scale up the difficulty on it, and even on easy, when I was taking on the like mythical beasts, it was fucking hard. Like,
And I suppose also you've got the camps that you can 100% as well. So, like, some of the tasks on the camps are like quite hard, because it's like, kill so many enemies like whilst hidden, or I know in like some of them it's like, oh, you got to chain kill a group of people in smoke, and it's like, that's like pretty difficult to do, especially if you rank up the difficulty as well.
Yeah,
it'd be even harder.
But overall, for me personally, because I'm way more into storylines and stuff like that, is that Cassandra's story is fantastic. I even tiny got a bit into the more like real life Assassin's Creed stuff come the end, which I thought was cool. Like, I really expect myself to keep a distance from that, and come the end I was actually getting involved with it a little bit, so I was like, oh yeah, that's cool, I really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just a fantastic, I'd say it would be as close as I could possibly get to being a 10 out of 10 game, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's plenty of 10 out of 10 games I've played, you know, including Breath of the Wild, God of War, stuff like that, but like, this is a 10 out of 10 game for a lot of different reasons in those games and stuff, you know. And I think for sure, if you're somebody who's played The Witcher, it is for you. Like, it is The Witcher, but Assassin's Creed, it's got so, it's been definitely influenced by The Witcher, there's no doubt about it. And its side quests and everything are very similar to The Witcher and how they attach you to them and stuff. And it didn't matter whether it was literally like the smallest, most random quest you could possibly find, I still found myself emotionally invested in it, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I can't like explain how much I love that game. It's just fantastic.
Is that that side quest you were doing when I was around? And what's that? Was that that guy that was asking for a sword?
Yeah.
And he ended up, was it, fucking his mother and killing his dad?
That's it, yeah. So he was asking for this sword that I had to get off of someone, and he had a mother and a dad, and I ended up having to sleep with the guy because he would give me the sword for free then, although I could have like taken it off him. And then I came back to him and he was like, oh, that guy was like, his parents turned around and went, oh, we've got a revelation. That's at your kids, your real parents are the two people that she's just gone and got the sword and the shield off of. And I killed the woman with the shield and fucked the guy with the sword, which was just great because it was just a complete nightmare.
And yeah, the man gouged his eyes out.
Yeah, he did. He did. And I think of all the missions to not give this game an appropriate
yeah, but it just
name for itself is
yeah, it was just coincidentally that Ryan was playing and both me and Lou just came in to watch, and that was the mission he was playing. Yeah. It was very funny.
In which I'd made a poor decision, but I didn't realise until the mission ended I'd made a poor decision, and he gouged his eyes out and I was like, oh, it's whiz, and then on I went. But yeah, like, there's just so many zany little missions like that that are just so great, but seem to have some kind of emotional weight to them as well. Although that one was a little bit more comedic. Like, there is plenty of, like, great comedy and stuff like that as well. It's just great.
Yeah.
Comedic in it, I made a mistake.
Yeah, not comedic, that would, like, not comedic, Ryan loves watching videos of guys gouging their eyes out just for a laugh.
Yes. And like I said, apart from that, bit of Animal Crossing, played also Returnal. Our friend's PS5, like, he brought it around and I was like, oh, I was so skeptical about it, and then when I played it, like, boy, that game is like really smooth, it's really nice to play, it's so like next gen, everything about
very
it,
interesting
really,
story
really nice. Yeah, it's got a really cool story, and I like the fact that like it's just got really smooth controls and stuff, but like the DualSense stuff on it is just amazing, like the fact that you can feel the raindrops on your hands like with the DualSense 5, because it's like, and they can feel each individual raindrop, it's like super cool. And I just thought the entire thing was just fantastic, but I don't know whether a game that really calls to me and being like I would have to put it on my backlog and be like, oh my god, I have to play that, but like for sure I think for a lot of people that would be a fantastic experience to have. Mm-hmm. Especially if you like kind of like third person shooters or anything like that. It's really really smooth though, like when Boo took over and started playing, like after me, he was just like,
it looked like someone playing Doom, but like someone really, really good playing Doom.
Yes, it was like very similar to Doom in that kind of like how you can like roll through it and have like those kind of chain moments of like smashing everything up and doing really well. But yeah, you have to complete it all in one playthrough, which is cool as well. Yeah. But yes, so that is our what we're all up to. No, it's not. It's what's the story for this podcast, but what we're all up to is what we do in the other podcast, but same thing. Okay, so we move on to our gaming top five this week, which is top five steeds or vehicles. Of course, basically anything you've ever driven or ridden in a game falls underneath this category. Mm-hmm. If you have any honorable mentions, speak them now.
I do have honorable mentions.
Okay.
Okay, so I have my wolf mount from Elder Scrolls Online because it was so sick. Oh my god. When I was playing Elder Scrolls Online, I bought this wolf. I'm not ashamed to say I bought it because I saw it in the ESO store and I was like, that thing is beautiful. That needs to be my mount. So it's like this giant wolf. And I have to say, when, like, not all the graphics in that game are beautiful, but with like the detail they went into the mount, I was just like, yeah, fantastic. And I love a good wolf. I love wolves. They're my favourite animals. So I was like, yeah.
It was cool when you started riding that.
Yeah. a comedic little shout out to bicycles in any Pokemon game, because without them we would probably not complete them as fast as we did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like deep seated in my childhood, so shout out to them bikes. Also an honourable mention to some of the mounts in Pokemon Legends, because you get to ride on Pokemon.
That's super cool that you do that.
So you have Weirdear, who's like takes you around super speedy, Ursulina, who helps you get items and stuff like that, and then there's other Pokemon too. And then also the Loftwing from Skyward Sword. So this is, it's like in Zelda Skyward Sword, you have this giant bird that you fly on, which I thought was very cool. So they're my honourable mentions.
Cool. Lou, how do you?
I do not have any honourable mentions.
Okay, I've only got two. One of them, Lou has already told me, is one of his top fives, so I won't bother with that. But apart from that, it is any kind of vehicles in Fortnite, because the skateboards, the surfboards,
the trolley,
the little ball that you can do in as a little suction cup that pulls you up different places and stuff like that. The car, the plane, everything, every bit of traversal in Fortnite is really smooth and really nice. And there's never been, but the cars don't, I don't like the cars as much in Fortnite because I think they're a little bit slidey. But like, specifically, I always remember the snowboard or like the kind of like hoverboard thing that you go on, because you can like just come off and like do like some kind of boost on it that like gives you like a jump, and it's so cool. But like everything on Fortnite is just really, really smooth. Like the game's just incredibly smooth anyway, but like particularly as traversal. And I remember like, it would be in those little balls where you had a little suction cup. So you'd be in these little balls and like shoot a little suction cup. You just yeet yourself around mountains and stuff on them and stuff like that. And it's just great. But yeah, that's my honourable mention. So we'll go in the same order again. We'll start with you, Kaylee, with your first one, then go to Lou, then to me, and then we'll just go around until we've done our top five. Yeah.
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 So my first one is Shadowmere from Skyrim/Oblivion, because that just holds very an emotional place in my heart.
Yeah.
Even though technically, if you look at it, I don't think they're the best mounts to ride on because they're a bit clunky sometimes, but it's more the emotional attachment towards like, was it the Dark Brotherhood?
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in here and say Shadowmere is my first pick.
Okay,
yes. Shadowmere!
But yeah, it is given to you by the Dark Brotherhood.
Yeah, I've played so much Skyrim, particularly Skyrim. I haven't finished the Dark Brotherhood in my Oblivion playthrough, but I got Shadowmere and I was just like, oh, I love that it's in both games, and it's kind of like this horse that like can like potentially come up in the next Elder Scrolls game because
it
can't die. It's basically, you know, this kind of ghosty horse thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my first one. Do you have anything else to say on?
No, you pretty much summed up.
It's just so cool. I just love Shadowmere because like in Skyrim specifically, when you first encounter Shadowmere, they're like, oh, go outside, like you've earned the right to get this mount, and then you go outside and there's this like pool and it just appears from the pool and it's just
pool
like
of blood, isn't it?
Yeah, a pool of blood, and it's just beautiful, beautiful horse. Like because it's like almost black but kind of bluey in Oblivion with red eyes, and that's just like, oh.
Yeah, like 110%. It strikes me as something I remember. It's not something that particularly for me is something that I'm like, oh, that's one of my favourite mounts of all time. But it's very much like, ooh, I get to be a ringwraith, isn't it? Because
it's
just
super
it's a ringwraith horse.
It is a ringwraith horse.
Like, I'm sure that was where it came from in Oblivion, because a lot of Oblivion was, you know, Oblivion came out around the same time as like the Lord of the Rings movies and stuff, and they were very influenced by each other for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was just cool because you could be on like a wraith horse, you know, which I thought was really, really cool.
Well, I do think a lot of people chose it because it was so OP as well, like it was very hard to kill it.
Yeah,
it was very hard to kill it, and you could knock it out and store stuff on it.
Well, okay, I didn't do that, but I was like, oh, the emotional aspect of Shadowmere, and then Lou was like, oh, I knocked it out so I could store stuff on it.
You're storing dragon bones somewhere.
Yeah, that's it, it's true.
This is true,
yeah,
okay.
Pop them in now.
That is fair.
But yeah, like it is like a really memorable one for me. Like it's something that like I remember when I first walked out when you get it from the Dark Brotherhood in Oblivion. You know, really stuck with me in that. It didn't stick with me quite as much in Skyrim, just because I think there's just so much going on in Skyrim that it's not one of the things that really like. I love the Dark Brotherhood anyway. It's one of my favourite missions you could possibly have. Okay, so we'll move on to my first one, which is Banshee from Halo. So. Although Lou was saying to me, oh, I have the same Halo one. No, I did choose the Banshee instead because it's just super cool. It was always like this super cool alien thing that you like absorb your whole body into, and you climb into it, and you almost lie in it when you go up and you shoot around. It had the coolest sounding thing, and I remember particularly, like, I think it's on Gulch or something, which is like a multiplayer map that you used to play. Like, I used to go on in like Halo 2 and I used to just jump in it and then shoot up into the sky, and it's just like, it had this, especially for such an early game like Halo 2 and stuff, like, it had this kind of like epic feel of like being able to actually fly around in something and like be above the map and survey things and shoot these cool little like plasma, this like plasma gun it's got on the front of it and stuff. It's like that's such a nice noise when it does it and stuff. And even playing it again in the most recent Halo and Halo Infinite and stuff, like it has that nostalgia hit of like you get them and you can hear them like swooping around for the first time. You're like, oh, it's a banshee, like that's so cool, you know. But for sure, that is one of the favourite vehicles I ever jumped in. You know, there's plenty of cool vehicles in Halo, but like, I just particularly like the Banshee because, like, I love the fact that as you go into the air, you can choose then whether you shoot or whether you hold the boost button, and it makes like a really cool noise. And
yeah, and you can like dash in each direction in some of them.
Yeah,
and it does like a barrel roll or a backflip.
That's so cool. Or you can just backflip yourself and you just go around, and it's just like, it leaves these kind of like trails as you go as well, like these kind of like plasma trails in the sky. But like, oh man, I love me a Banshee, that's for sure.
I always love the names of the Halo vehicles.
Yeah.
They're cool names.
Yeah, they are cool. But yeah, Kaylee, your next one.
Oh yeah. Mine is Epona from The Legend of Zelda. Many games. It's not just one game, because Epona appears in a few of them.
Mm.
So I think the, particularly in Twilight Princess, I loved Epona. And then Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Because you have baby Epona when you're like young Link, and then you have older Epona when you travel through time and you're adult Link and stuff. So I think that's just a horse that stuck with me from being a young age, like when I was young, and it always like had the same look. So she always looked the same.
Yeah.
So it's just iconic whenever you see her. And then in Breath of the Wild, she wasn't really there, but she came as an amiibo when you got the amiibo.
Mm-hmm.
You could summon her then.
Cool.
Which, because players had an attachment to that horse already, I think people were like, oh my god, I have to get the amiibo. It didn't matter that wasn't in the main game. It's like, oh my god, I need Epona.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she's a beautiful, beautiful horse. Really sturdy. And also, I just love she's named after a Welsh god.
Oh,
like
really?
A Celtic Welsh god. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's where, or like Gaulish, I think. But that's where the name comes from, which I just think is super interesting. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. It's one of those ones that's like really nostalgic for a lot of people. Of,
yeah.
You know, it's the opening of Ocarina of Time, isn't it?
Yeah, like she just like, runs across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like one of those very iconic steeds for sure. Like if anybody kind of looks up like top gaming steeds or anything like that, like it's always going to come up with this.
Like
yeah.
I did.
Yeah,
so it was like usually number one, number
yeah.
two.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And it really sticks with people, which is nice as well. Like, I remember Luke always just getting like attached to that name and being like, oh, Spooner or whatever all the time, which is really, really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, but like even I remember playing Twilight Princess when I was very young and just not even completing like the main quest or anything, but just riding across Hyrule Field for just hours and hours on Epona. And I was just like, and it was the only reason I could travel around Hyrule Field, because sometimes I was too scared to jump off and face the enemies.
Yeah.
So I used to just like run around and then dash, and then I was like, oh my god, something's coming for me, and dash. So without Epona, I would never actually probably have explored to Hyrule at that young age. So
yeah.
Little things like that. It was very immersive for me as a child. So yes, she would always stick with me.
Yeah, super, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Lou.
So my second one, which I think Kaylee might have as well,
probably.
Is Roach from The Witcher 3.
Yeah, everyone was probably like, does Kaylee only choose horses? pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, so I've got Roach. Loved riding around on Roach in The Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's Roach. It's
the only thing
horse
is
that you can stick heads on when you slay beasts.
Yeah, that is true. And Roach like can carry your stuff, and you don't have to like knock him out for it the way you did with Shadowmere.
Not Shadowmere. That was just a slight inconvenience. Where Roach, he's the OG. I don't have to knock him out to store stuff on it.
Yeah, and I think with Roach, it's like, if it was any, just a random horse you could pick up, it wouldn't be anything, but it's like Geralt's attachment to Roach that I think makes it.
Yeah.
Like, Geralt
like
doesn't, yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
for
a
sure.
Family bond, almost.
Yeah, because like, Geralt doesn't get emotional about a lot of things, but when it comes to his horse, he's like, don't touch Roach.
Yeah.
Look after Roach. Make sure Roach is safe. And you're like, oh, that's where his little emotional side comes through.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, Roach is always like ride or die, isn't he?
Yeah, he only really gives a fuck about like his two swords and his horse. That's like pretty much it. Isn't
yeah.
It? You know? I love Roach as well. Like, she didn't make it onto my list, but like, it's again, it's iconic, isn't it? It's like become one of those iconic things where like you can imagine now if, you know, if there was another Witcher, you'd have to have Roach in it. You'd have to have Roach as his horse and all that kind of stuff. Although actually, he does just call any horse he has Roach. So like, you know, he has various horses, but he always calls it Roach. I remember him saying very early in the game, but it's just cool because he has that attachment to specifically the main horse that he has throughout most of the game. And like you say, he has those things where he's like being like careful with it and all these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it feels like, especially when you're like alone wandering Witcher all the time, it's like your friend, you know?
Yeah.
It's like your companion almost in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a relative. He treats that particular thing as like a relative.
Yeah, sure.
It's like a guarantee that Roach will be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's loads of really, really cool stuff about it that like CD Projekt Red really like sort of fed into, which was really, really cool, because like it was terrible for glitching when the game first came out, like really, really bad. So if you get the Gwent card of Roach, then it's on a roof, that like, you'll see that Roach is on a roof, because you just glitch onto roofs all the time. Then if you whistled it, it would be able to get off the roof.
So, oh, like, no.
So they actually made it a Gwent card.
So they made it a Gwent card just like take the piss out of themselves because there's Roach on a roof kind of thing. Like, which I think always thinks really funny. But like, yeah, like it's one of those iconic like steeds now of in it, like moving into that same kind of category as like Epona, where it's like if you're a Witcher fan, you know Roach, you know what Roach is, like, you know, when he talks to Roach in the show or anything, you're like, oh great.
Yeah, they do
Roach,
a good job, you know, in the show about it.
Like,
as well.
And that's like, it's got that universal kind of like Roach is a thing now.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, yeah. But definitely cool.
Yes. Right, Roach was my number four, but this will be my last one. So
do you want to wait and let me go?
It's up to you.
Yeah, because I'll dive in there, because then we can go around again.
Yeah.
And hopefully we should be approaching the same kind of time then, although you guys have taken each other's over.
Yeah.
Me and Lou are like on the same page.
Yeah, definitely. So I will piggyback off it and just go that the only reason that Roach isn't on this list, and this is because Roach was always my favourite gaming horse. It was just like properly like full on in love with it, but was completely utterly eclipsed, and so is every horse ever, and that's why there isn't many horses on my list. In fact, this is the only horse on my list, because it's the only horse in video games, and that is Red Dead Redemption 2's horse. It's the only horse. Like, once you've ridden these, once you experience how amazing they are and how real they are in every way, shape, and form, it just changes horses for
that
you.
That was.
I have to mentally adjust every game I play to go, oh, it's not a Red Dead horse. Okay, all right, I've just got to kind of get over it. And then, okay, yeah, there we are, right? Okay, I've adjusted to the fact that it's not a Red Dead horse now. Because
they have some very fluid horses on Red Dead.
It is like, it sets apart.
Especially the first one and the second one. They're both. Second one, I'd say, is a lot better than the first, but even the first one, like, for when it got released, like, the mechanics of the horse were, like, insane, especially when you're, like, you got the horses out putting carriages as well, like, the attention to detail.
Yeah, oh, attention to detail is just, like, the absolute key phrase for these horses, because basically Red Dead Redemption 2, if you wanted it, is a horse simulator. Like, you can brush your horse, you can change your horse's mane and patterns and all these different things, and you can get different breeds of horses, and you can ride a big shire horse or a smaller horse and all these different things, but it's just how it runs through everything, like how it goes through mud or goes through rivers or anything. It is just beautiful, but it's the way in which it moves that is just like, it is not just a standard run. It feels like every individual clop of its hoof is different every single time, and it's just utterly beautiful. And you, again, because it's the same kind of thing as Witcher, like so similar in so many ways, is because you're this lone ranger, that your horse, you grow this attachment to it, which is even worse, because at least with Roach, you can't die. But with these horses, like, you absolutely just are beside yourself if your horse dies. And obviously, I've had a couple of times where my horse has died.
Fallen off a cliff and plants into the floor and dies, and you're like, no.
Yeah, and you have to go and put it down and stuff if it broke its legs, which is pretty fun. But, like, it's more so like, if even I've had times where people have like shot at my horse and I've been like, no you don't, and I've been like getting off my horse, like shooting back at them and stuff, and it's just like, they're so cool. Yeah. But it's like, I just can't explain. I don't think there's anything more satisfying to ride. I don't think there's anything more satisfying to watch, even, or to and it feels like properly like a real horse, like you have that connection to it, but it also is just like, they seem like spiritual, don't they, horses, you know, which I think is really cool. But yeah, it's so fantastic, so so good. I can't wait for you to experience it. When you manage to, like, even from the off, like very very early on, like the fact that you go through the snow, and as you're going through the snow, like it leaves each individual like hoof print behind and stuff, and like it like properly like lifts its feet up out of the snow when it's like heavy snow and stuff like that. It's like, oh, it's so dope. It's just so fucking good. But yeah,
yeah. My last one is King of Red Lions from The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, which is actually a boat. It's a talking boat. So it's quite comical, and I won't give up too much away because there'll be spoilers, but basically, like, at the beginning of Wind Waker, you have to go on this quest to try and find your sister, and then at some point you wake up and you think you're dead, and you're like, oh my god, and then this guy, you just hear a voice being like, wake up, and you wake up, and the helm of this boat has turned around and is facing you, and is like, wake up, and you're like, there's a boat, like, the boat, I'm on this boat, and the boat's speaking to me, and the helm of the boat is a lion, which is what, it can turn its head and talk to you, so, and that's your main mode of transport in Wind Waker, because unlike the other Zelda games where you travel across the land of Hyrule, Wind Waker is supposed to be Hyrule's covered in ocean now, where there's been, like, a giant flood, so you have to travel to different islands. So it's kind of like Sea of Thieves in that way. You're literally just traveling by boat, which is very cool. And then this boat, obviously, it's actually a very important character for later on in the game. And he just comes out with, like, really funny, wise words as well. So it's kind of like in other Zelda games where you'd have, like, Midna and Twilight Princess or Fee in Skyward Sword. It's like a point of, like, if you don't really know what you're doing, it will give you tips and tricks and stuff like that.
Cool.
So yes, that was my last one.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool that it's like personality and as like a, you know, something you can talk to and stuff, which is different from, you know, most of the sort of silent things we've mentioned so far, you know, that are more so like just something we've written on, but it's cool that it has that, like a character, it's like writing a character, which is cool.
And it's very like comical because it's like Wind Waker was like the cartoony type. Oh, like it's like Toon Link, you have all like they're all toony looking, so everything's way more comical. So when like Link wakes up, he's like very much like, oh my god, like this boat's talking to me and proper freaking out. It just makes it way better as opposed to if, say, it was Breath of the Wild, it wouldn't be, it'd be too real almost.
It would be immersion breaking.
Yes, so. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Lou.
Yeah. So my third one is Yoshi from Mario.
Yeah.
Like when you get to ride Yoshi. I can't remember which game it's from off the top of my head.
Multiple ones,
but the one that sticks out to me is the one where you get the multiple coloured ones as well. Like you get the pink one, the yellow one, the green one. Obviously, green one's Yoshi, and then you get the blue one.
Yeah.
And you got to go around and like you can collect like the eggs, and you can spit them out to like fight the Goombas and stuff. Like, I just love that. Like, it's quite comical. Like, see a Mario riding Yoshi, and it's just. Fun. It was just a childhood memory of mine, just playing that and like riding along on Yoshi and doing like all the little puzzles that you can do and killing the Goombas with the eggs. It's just funny to me.
But you can like swallow up
the shell, spit them out, which is
cool. And I never forget. It always reminds me of Yoshi, or riding Yoshi particularly. Always reminds me of the meme of like there's this video I watched where it's like this guy who's like, oh, like, you know, hello Yoshi, like, gets on and stuff, and then, like, you get to a point in Mario where like, you have to make it over a jump, but, like, Yoshi gives you an extra jump, but you jump off of him onto the next one, and it just falls. And it's just, like, this meme of, like, Yoshi, like, looking up, just being like, no, but it's cool, though, because, like, it's, like, a really cool power-up, and it makes you feel like, especially when you're playing, like, the sort of 2D side-scrolling Mario games that, like, gives you this extra like sense of strength and power rather than like worrying about things in the way that you do with most stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. Cool.
I actually lied, I do have another one, but you should.
I did think that you were narrowly doors for it to be last.
Jump on the gun a bit there.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot one completely. But you can go.
My next one is my third one, which is robots from Horizon. So you end up being able to ride the robots in Horizon, and they are so cool. Like, it's just awesome being able to ride what is like a bit effectively like different types of like animalistic robots, but they're just super super dope to go around on. There's nothing cooler than when you're like in the grass and you have to like you tame them, but not in a conventional way. And like you stab a little spear into them and like override them, yeah. And then like you get on them and they turn like blue as well, which is cool. And then you end up like riding around them, and it's just like cool because again, it's just the same as riding a horse in so many ways, or same as riding something else, but it's just so different because the game is so different. Like, particularly, just remember thinking like cool, like there's just some cool moments. I like
you can use them tactically as well, because like obviously most of them have like abilities. Well, yeah, like, they'll kick their back hind legs out to like.
Yeah,
clearer like a mass of like the little raptor things that come out all the time, the watchers.
Yeah, that's it. Which is really, really cool. But they're definitely something that I just remember sticking out and just being like, again, this could be something you're particularly emotionally attached to. Like, I would say I was far more emotionally attached to the likes of like my Red Dead horse, but this was like something where it was just every now and again I'd be like, this is just cool, I'm even riding this.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it was just something like that.
You got the ones with like drills on its head and it charges. Yeah. Like, I love riding those ones as well.
Yeah. Super, super cool.
Okay. My last one is actually a car from GTA 4, because I decided I was like, I should stop talking about horses. Mm-hmm. So I play a lot of GTA 4,
mm-hmm.
and I used to always just get the Turismo car. That was like my ride or die car. I loved the look of it because it was based off of a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, and because I grew up with my uncle always watching F1, and he was a huge Ferrari fan, so his room was always covered in Ferrari stuff. So I remember when I got GTA 4 and I saw this car, and I was like, oh, I want to ride this car, and it's super fast. And I was like, it looks cool. So that's my last one, because I'm not normally into like games with cars and stuff like that, but I played so much GTA 4 that I was like, this gets...
Yeah, you really like GTA 5 as well.
Yeah, I'm behind on that. I haven't played GTA 5.
Yeah, GTA 5 story is really fantastic as well. Like, really, really worth playing. But I was almost going to put as an honorable mention every car in GTA, because like any GTA, like a little bit has.
Yeah, they've got a lot of attention to detail in cars.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just like really smooth to drive them all and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although the only thing with GTA 4 I always remember is that the cars have like loads of weight to them. So like if you like turned really quickly, you flip all the time. I just remember like Liberty City is just super cool, isn't it?
It's like the ambulances, you can rock them.
It was there was always something so much like so fun about driving the cars in GTA. Like, even because you do it now with San Andreas because it's on Game Pass, where you just like you just boot it up almost just to drive around.
I've got an honorable mention now.
Yeah.
BMXs in San Andreas.
Really?
The BMX bikes in San Andreas. And you can take it into like the little skate park that they got, and you just ramp it off the ramp.
Do little jumps and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. Good mention though, because it's like interesting, and obviously, again, like you're very known for your fancy games and everything else. But it's cool that you have played. You have played loads of different games. Like, you really like.
Oh yeah, I've clocked so many hours in GTA 4, and then. Because I got to a stage where when GTA 5 came out, I didn't have a console to play it on. So I think I just continued playing GTA 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
GTA 5's storyline is definitely well worth playing.
Yes.
But I remember, I could only ever borrow GTA 4 off someone because I'd never had it for my own PS3, but I absolutely fucking love that game.
Yeah.
It's just so cool.
It's a really good game.
Lou?
Yeah. So my fourth one is... Ryan has briefly touched up on it when he was talking about the Banshee.
Mm-hmm.
Is a Warthog.
Yeah.
I loved playing the Warthog. Not playing the Warthog, but using the Warthogs in pretty much all the Halo games, especially Infinite, the new one, where you got the different variant of it, where it's got like no gun on it, but you can load all your like people into it and just take them off into battle.
Yeah,
I loved that, and I just love the Warthog in general, because it's like one of the main vehicles Master Chief uses in the stories, in the cutscenes that he's in mostly. Just love the Warthog.
Yeah, it's like. Again, I didn't choose the Warthog because I prefer the Banshee for like the aesthetics of it and the sounds and how it like gave me this sense of freedom and flying and stuff. But like in terms of like just pure nostalgia, just pure like iconic, like you can't really get any more kind of iconic of a vehicle, I don't think, in any video game as opposed to a Warthog. Because like it is like you know exactly what it is, even what it sounds like, it's engine sound, like I'm just like, oh, it's a Warthog.
It's a Warthog.
Yeah, like it's just so, so cool.
That'd be quite a cool little quiz I could do, you guys.
Yeah.
Get snippets of like vehicle sounds and you've got to try and guess which game it's from.
That is actually good.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Don't do horses, because like, you do horse neighing. It's like, which game is this from? And you're like,
All of them.
Yeah. Any game rules. But yeah, so it's a cool mention, because there's so many times with Warthogs for me where I've had like really nostalgic moments where, like, particularly when you're playing split screen with friends. Like, I remember playing split screen with Luke when we'd done the Pasty Partner Up. and we were like both rolling in the thing, and one of you's in the turret and one of you's in the front, and it just feels great. It's just one of those things that's just dope.
Just feel badass.
Yeah, 100%. It like has.
Especially when you got that like, third person, he's in like the little shotgun seat, like aiming out his gun, shooting people.
Yeah, sure. Have you guys finished your top five now?
I've got one more.
You got one more.
I'm done.
Okay, cool. So my next one is going off the back of GTA is the Sanchez, particularly from GTA San Andreas, which is like the dirt bike. So you end up having the dirt bike and you go around on it all the time, and it's like my favorite thing to be able to go round on and listen to all my radio tunes on. So like one of my favorite things to do, even like Kenny said now, is like my nostalgia for San Andreas was always to go around with just no aim, just go around listening to K-Rose as loud as I possibly can, all the country songs blaring out, and particularly because when I used to go out to the country, like I used to really like drive around on motorbikes because I like to go around on them, because you could zip in and out between all the cars all the time and not have to like worry about getting hit by cars as much, and like they used to go like fuck.
Yeah,
so like I just remember going out and always just knocking the nearest guy off his Sanchez, yeet him across the road,
smash into him,
and then
car.
And then getting straight on it, K-Rose on, and I could just lap over and over and over again, and it was just like, again, it's something that it's not like I'm like, oh, it's the best mechanics or it's the best this or it felt the best or whatever. It's just something that, in the same way that you guys like attach yourselves to the horses or whatever, like I'm particularly attached to that motor vehicle. Like it's just something to me where I'm just like, it is like,
especially with like how old the game is now, and it's still like one of the funnest vehicles to drive, even like now that it's on the Game Pass. Like it's just
you always done this thing where like if you went quick enough on it, you like you start to blur, the vision would start to blur because you'd just be fucking going like shit off a shovel. And I used to start off by like Los Santos Beach, and I'd just go as fast as I could all the way up to the top, and you can go up like round the mountain, and you go down this hill, and there's like a big jump right at the like very end, and it's always really cool because it would always like play the tune, and then like I'd be like listening to K-Rose, obviously, because I'm like a super hick in it, and I just love listening to all of the like all of the old like Southern American tune stuff. It's like I just absolutely love country music anyway, but like and then you just be like going along and it'd be like, oh, my exes live in Texas, and then you just hit this jump and it goes like completely silent once you're in the air, and it's like, and then you hit down and they start playing the song again, you're like, yeah, and then you just go around and do the same again. Like, I've done that so many times, just insane. But yeah, absolutely love the Sanchez. What a vehicle. But yeah, your last one, mate.
And my last one is going to be from Pokemon's Legend Arceus, as Kenny was just talking about the maps that you can get in that. And mine's Braviary. I really like Braviary, like the whole like mechanic of it. You glide along, or you dive down and like glide along. Yeah. And it just felt satisfying to be like fly straight up. Like even the mechanic that they did, or like the motion of you jumping up off the ground with Braviary and just gliding up into the sky, and then sort of like gliding along.
Oh, so excited.
And then like the just diving down to the floor to get back down to like catch a Pokemon that you've seen.
Yeah.
Flying along, see a shiny, just dive straight down to the floor.
I actually didn't like Braviary.
Oh.
It was like, it was my least favourite one, and I just thought, I just didn't like the mechanics of it. I was just like, this is like, I never landed properly. I always landed not where I wanted to be, because like you have to really time when you start diving, and it just really frustrated me. So I was like, nah. I just was like Weirdear all the way, because he just got me from one point in the map to the other super fast. Where Braviary, I used to like crash and tumble, and I was just like, oh, I can't do this. But fair enough, if you got the mechanic down, but I just didn't.
Yeah, I loved
you, just Braviary. Gracefully
just plow it into the side of the mountain and then switch to Sneasel when you're fine.
But yeah, so it's just cool they gave you, so like, is it obviously for you particularly, obviously because you didn't like it as much, Katie, but like for you and it being something that stands out to you, is it something that like particularly the Pokemon fan was just like, oh my god, I'm able to fly on a Pokemon? Like,
I think just like the general consensus of the mounts, like it'll just like it'll feel good for Pokemon players. Like Katie pointed out, you can ride Pokemon, like you can physically use Pokemon
so cool
in the world, in the open world.
Yeah,
like it's just who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah.
Who doesn't want?
It's what we wanted to do since we were like 3 years old. So,
like, other than like the old school games where you had TMs and you momentarily saw you ride a Pokemon, and it wasn't even like an actual image of a Pokemon.
It was like a little black blob. Silhouette. Yeah, it was like this little black blob that would like smack a rock.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, "That's not a Pokemon."
Yeah,
It's like one of this is literally like the first one of the first Pokemons where you can physically ride and you control where it goes and you control what it does. It
sounds super cool. Mm-hmm. And again, it's cool that it's like tattooed itself and you're that way, and it's so recent as well.
Yeah.
Which is super, super dope.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Great.
Anything else?
That sums up my top five.
Sweet. My last one is Titans from Titanfall. I only played Titanfall 2 online, and I played Titanfall 1, which was just online. And I have it now on my backlist. I've just added it to my backlog today to play Titanfall 2, because I know that after Titanfall 2, this will be even stronger on my list, because you develop a relationship with the robot and stuff like that. And it's like very like Transformers-y, and that kind of like looks after you and all that kind of stuff. There's a really cool thing on the trailer, I remember, where it like catches you as you fall and stuff. But like, it's how smooth the mechanics are in it. It's the fact that like you get inside this giant robot and like you've got all these different powers and skills and stuff that like you didn't have before. And like, I remember specifically on the online, you'd like have to you launch them from the sky, so they come down and like you launch your Titan and it just hit the floor and you like get in it, and it was just like revolutionary. Like, it was something that like I'd only ever played COD and all these other like sort of boots on the ground shooters before, and this was like full on, like you can call fucking Optimus Prime out of the sky.
It's like, almost like a Halo, like an ODST drop, like you just see that pod come down, smack it into
and
the ground.
It's like this thud, and you get inside of it, and like all of the feelings and like the emotions of it, it's just like, yes, my fucking Titan's here. And you like end up having some massive Titan fight with
now I'm gonna absolutely Titan. Massacre people,
and you just fucking like punching other Titans and stuff and like shooting them and stuff, and it's just amazing. So, so good. Like, it's just one of those things that will always stick with me as just being like one of the most epic moments in the shooter I've had. It's just that first time, like, as an online player, seeing something fall from the sky, being able to get inside it, and suddenly I'm inside a big mech and I can just take on everything with, which is just like, you know, I think it's like every boy's dream just to do something like that online, just be like, oh my god, I'm just like I can chew everything, it's just great. But like, I particularly just like loved it, and it's something that I know, again, at this moment, is something that in regards to just the emotion of it doesn't have much attachment to me. But I think once I played Titanfall online, Titanfall's campaign, then I would definitely, it would be really, really high, because I'm not sure what it's called, but I'm sure that would be one of my favourite like gaming characters, because apparently it's super dope and the story's like really emotional and stuff, even though it's only about 6 hours. But So if there's anybody listening and you want to check out a cool sort of first person emotive story, and this is just, I'm going off a lot of people that I know that like I would very much trust in the fact that that's very, very good. But yeah, that is our gaming top fives for this week. That's our top five steeds/vehicles. But yeah, that was really, really cool. It was cool to go through a little list like that. Yeah. Something different as well, to sort of like go through your memories and think, oh, what have I enjoyed sort of as traversal and stuff in games, as opposed to like something more full on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sweet. Okay, so this week we move on now to the final segment, which is Rye vs. Ginger Nut. But as Lou's here again, which will probably be something that will be reasonably consistent now and stuff like that, I've devised that Lou, I'm now hiring you. You are me for this game.
Wow.
If you win, I win. So no pressure. No pressure. And if Kaylee wins...
He's got no outside help. I'm like, Kaylee, he's already said cheap.
And if Kaylee wins, I'm going to shrug my shoulders. I'm going to fling my arms about.
I'm fine.
Like Vince McMahon. And I'm going to point at you and give you the... proper, you know, go. So, Lou, no pressure, mate, but your future on this podcast is in...
Oh, wow, he's a proper getting fired. I thought you just been fired from the segment.
Yeah, it's in the balance. But so I have 10 gaming characters / I think I put one place and one actual video game name in there as well, but I'll explain as I go. And it's called... The game is just... It's just two-word guess. So I'm going to give you two words that are going to sound like what the gaming thing is. And whoever answers quickest as who that is, who the gaming character I'm talking about is, then you would answer it. So say, I don't know, for example, I would use one of the ones I've not thought about on my list. So something like, I don't know, like Mewtwo would be like, I don't know, Psychic... Alien, or yeah, that's it, or something like that. So it's like the ones I've done are far better than that. But that's,
clearly, I'm better at coming up with stuff than him already.
So yeah, so these are the 10. So Lou, it's about speed, it's about intensity, it's about wanting it. Right. So number one, Mushroom Plumber.
Mario.
1-0 to Kaylee. Number two, Fast Bikes.
Sonic.
Kaylee, 2-0. Number 3, Collision Fox. They get progressively harder.
Collision Fox?
Collision Fox.
It could be words that are similar to. So what would be another word for a collision?
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. 3-0.
Come on!
3-0 is Luke's.
Sorry, Luke.
I'm losing this one. Clean sweep.
I like you being here, but I don't like losing.
Lose either... He's fucking me, I think.
Yeah, I've paid him. Slipped him some money in the... Just behind the chair.
Okay, next one. God Dad.
Kratos.
Yes. Come on, Lou. Come back,
yeah,
to one.
You're one.
Come back, to one.
Come on, one.
Okay, Lightning Mouse.
Pikachu.
Yeah. Oh, Kitty's good at this. Next one is Pink Swallower.
Kirby.
Yeah. Oh. Jesus.
Come on!
He's smashing it. Okay, I think you might have won now, but we'll continue playing for fun. Anyway.
See if I get a one.
For fun!
Luke can enjoy his last moments on the podcast. We can. Okay, so next one is Emperor's Daughter.
Emperor's Daughter?
Like I said, they do get progressively harder, I thought.
Siri.
Yes, oh. Siri. From The Witcher. That's a good one. Next one is Scrambled Bloke.
Scrambled Bloke?
Scrambled Bloke.
Eggman.
Yes, Dr. Eggman from Sonic.
Scrambled
Bloke. That's good. Kaylee's
like, I am on fire. I'm never this good. I'm really proud of myself right now. I'm a one-man team here.
Yeah.
I'm a one-woman team.
Well, I think you're a two-man team of shit lose, David. Okay, two more. Okay, Stream Log. Now, this is a place.
Riverwood
from Skyrim.
Yeah, Stream Log, yeah.
Yeah, and then lastly is a game, and it's
game.
Ruby Deceased.
Red Dead?
Red Dead, yeah.
Ruby Deceased.
Jesus.
Oh, dead, yeah.
Come on!
Ruby Red. Oh, yeah.
Well, we won't be doing this again because Kelly's too good at it. So,
I'm just too slow.
Well, nah, it's literally. Like, she was like, leaving it about a quarter of a second. I didn't finish a second.
I'm never normally that good at games either.
Yeah,
and I'm
really,
even surprised at myself.
I'm just very slow at processing.
That was really, really good. Lose like.
Give me like 5 extra seconds, I would have.
The thing is, I've had practice because me and Ryan do this a lot, and then this is literally your first time. I feel bad for you.
Nah, it's good. Yeah, you know, it's nice having you on the pod, Luke. You know, and it's like, it's hard to say goodbye sometimes. But yeah, I'm assuming again we'll go for a point where, like, I think Lou, if you could maybe do that one time and come on and talk about that, or like,
yeah.
Kaylee does it for me and Lou and stuff, like, it'd be well worth doing it. But
Electric Mouse,
yeah, Electric Mouse, aka Pikachu, you know, as we all know now, you know,
Fire Lizard,
yes, exactly. Yeah. Of course. But yes, that is this week's One Flew Over the Side Quest with, of course, the ex-podcaster, Lou.
It was short-lived.
The amazing Kaylee and myself.
Good boss last.
Thanks for coming on, guys. But yeah, we'll be back next week with Monthly Mayhem. So buckle up for that.
Well, it'll be the week.
Big Luke.
Yeah, we'll be next week.
Yeah, Big Luke will be back next
week. Big Luke will be back.
So yeah, then we'll go through all the games we played and so on and so forth. But yes, thank you very much for listening, everybody. And we're back next time with another amazing gaming top 5.
I'm a winner!
Take a bear.
Goodbye!
Bye!
Thank you again for listening to another Pixie Gaming Podcast, whichever one it was you chose to listen to today. We are Pixie Podcast on Twitter, Pixie Podcast on Instagram, Pixie Gaming Podcast on Facebook, and Pixie Gaming Podcast on YouTube. And our website is www.pixiepodcast.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening. You're all a bunch of legends. And here's a little outro music. So enjoy.